Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, we're the MI Ice Guys, and yes, there is finally ice in most parts of the state. Yes. If you don't have ice where you're at, you may be rooting for Ohio State or the Hoosiers. The rest of the state, we've got ice. It's getting safer every day. Most places, I think north of Kalamazoo, it's pretty easy to say that there is manageable ice out there.
On a smaller lakes.
Smaller lakes, yeah. Our big, Gull Lake's not going to get it. Our Reeds Lake here in Grand Rapids is not getting with it. But otherwise...
You get up by Howard Tucky, we got pretty decent ice up there on most of our lakes.
Yeah, just north of Grand Rapids, it's not a problem. We were saying it was the M46 line. Mm-hmm. It had to be north of that. I think we're north of the M6 now. So I think that's safe to say. And I keep hearing reports further and further south.
It varies from lake to lake, but your smaller, shallower lakes are locking up really nicely right now with this cold front we got coming through this week. And when I'm gone to Bulgaria, it's going to lock up real good for you guys here.
Oh, yeah.
You guys get some cold weather coming.
I'm not waiting for you. I'm fishing here while you're gone. But anyway, more about that later. But I'm hearing a lot of things about the bite. The fact that the bite is pretty, they're pretty tight-lipped out there.
Yeah, they're pretty finicky so far this year. I've been moving around, trying to stay on top of them like I'm fishing late-season crappie.
Yeah.
Because they're just, the school keeps moving. You got to run and gun.
You got schools that are moving. You got the...
Then you attract them in, they just sit there and look at it, and it's like, come on.
Oh, I know. When we were together one day a few weeks ago, I changed jigs 3 times before I got a color that got them working. And it was really a color combo of what color is spike and what color. Because for that day, I don't know what it was, but I had to leave the red spikes in the can.
Yeah.
They were not working.
Well, the one day I was doing good, I was running 2 spikes. And they're like, oh, you're running 2. And I was like, oh, yeah, I failed to mention that because I was catching them.
Yeah.
I was running 2 spikes, a red and a white.
So you got to be able to change it up out there. Now, one day when I was out and I went over there by Higgins to that little crystal lake over there, and got a buddy that's got a camp there so I could park at his place and get on. And I was out there and I was playing that game like we did on Cadillac where I was running the edge of the weed bed. If you were over the weeds, nothing. If you were 2 feet outside the weeds, nothing. If you're 1 foot off the edge to 6 inches off the edge, they came out of nowhere and they slammed it. And when they picked that thing up, they picked it up. And they were good deep hook sets. So it's been a challenge this year, and you got to be able to get out there and check things out.
I were up on Cadillac.
Yeah.
And when you got into the crappies up there, they were pounders. They're like 12 inches. There were some nice size ones.
Well, Steph and I went up with Chad, and Chad was late. He lives right near there, but he was late. So we went and had a great breakfast. Then came back from breakfast and went out there, and Chad walks out with us. And first down, Steph drills a hole and goes down. Chad takes the drill, and he goes off doing, I don't know, you 3-4 jigs into it, and all of a sudden, wham.
Yeah.
And he pulls out a 13-inch crappie. So that was a great start, and then we didn't see one for a long time.
Yeah, I was like, all right, where'd the rest of you go?
But then we figured out what the rhythm was. Chad got a pattern going where he was getting those crappie to rise on you. Occasionally we were getting some good-sized pumpkin seed up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think when we switched over to Mitchell during the middle of the day, we got that one true blue.
Yep.
Otherwise, we were hybrids, pumpkin seeds, and... some good, solid slab crappies when we could find them. It was a great day, but, it was a shocker to go from down here where it's open water to up there where there's 8 to 10 inches and snowmobiles whizzing by you.
Mm-hmm.
And only an hour and a half away.
Yeah, it's amazing how much it makes a difference, that little bit of that distance right there.
Yeah, and I talked to some of the guys that live out towards the lakeshore, and they said the lakeshore was not locking up. For the longest time, it was behind. And, it's just the difference of getting out in the middle of the state where the nights are a little colder, the elevation's a little higher, and it slammed it shut. And once it slammed shut, man, those the rain that we had just cleaned the top.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked last podcast, Jake and I did, about the quality of ice that was out there. It's good, solid, hard ice when you find it. And that's one of the things when you're spudding through, you can kind of judge the quality of the ice. And, you know, real clear, dark, if it's deep or over a weed bed, usually means it's hard ice. And you just got to figure out how thick that hard ice is. And then you know whether to get into it. But I think that kind of, the rain also has been really funking up the food chain a little bit and making them real finicky, because I think a lot of...
Something's got them stirred up and scattered.
They're just stirred up, scattered, and it's little stuff they're feeding on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was down to a 14 jig, a Scandia 14, and at times I was thinking about, on Crystal, I went down to a 16 for a while when the bite shut down. And it took me a while to sort them out, but I got a good limit that day.
Yeah, we were out Sunday. We went over to Farmers there, and Keith and his dad came up.
Oh, you showed the old man where Farmers is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Got him up there, and they ended up going home with 44 keepers. So
good. That was
pretty good for them.
Yeah.
I caught a 24-inch pike on my little pole there, the doe pole.
The little pole? The little St. Croix?
No, my schoolie.
Oh, with the schoolie. Okay.
Yeah. Tight lining rod.
Yeah, that's always
Keith fun. Grabbed him in the hole for me. I get him to the hole, and he'd go to the hole. Go. He's a little over 24 inches. Yeah. It was fun catching him, though.
Well, I know.
I just wanted my jig back.
Yeah.
Not that I don't got a bunch to replace it, but hey.
Yeah, like we're ever short on jigs, but you do everything you can to get it back. It's just a matter of pride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that I learned this year, I've been having trouble with knots this year. Now, I think part of it that one day was line, but then after I replaced my line, I was still having a little trouble with it. So I've started going to Snell and everything. Okay. I don't even waste my time anymore. It's just Snell it on. So if you guys, you know, are having any of those kinds of troubles where your knot is letting loose, and you can tell you're not let loose when it comes up and the tail is still curly when you retrieve without your jig. If it's a clean break, that was my first day out, and probably some line that was a little bit old, and that pole hadn't got stripped.
To get you a pair of cheaters.
Oh, I can see it. It's just a matter of doing the tying the right knot and not being lazy trying to draw some big summer knot when we're dealing with this super fine line that's super smooth, and it just slips on out. I know Chad, he's been tying some modified knots, and you've been using that modified fisherman for a couple of years, but I just decided, screw it.
Yeah, between that and Snell is my two main, and sometimes I'd use a loop knot.
Loop knot for a bigger jig, yeah.
Yep. Lets that jig dance a little bit differently if you use a loop knot, changes the action on your bait.
Yep.
So sometimes that's what they want. So.
Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Snell, look it up on the internet. They're all over the place. I think I even got an image on MI Ice Guys.
Mm.
Yes. But the important thing about it is to come with a line from the hook side through the eyelet and down around if you're using a traditional eyelet jig.
Not up from the eyelet, down through the eyelet.
Yeah, come from the hook side and go through.
Yeah.
Don't come from the front of the jig. Go from the back of the jig out, and so it wraps around the face. And you do your Snell. And that thing will hang perfectly level.
Yeah, you don't have to straighten your... It doesn't twist like a regular traditional knot where it'll slide down.
Slide around and all that kind of stuff. And so you guys might want to grab a big jig and practice that on some scrap line and stuff and just check it out. Then you'll get good enough to where you can take your 2-pound test and test your eyesight and get it through. I'm 50 and I can still see it as long as there's enough light.
Yeah, Snells aren't too bad.
No. And once you get good at tying them, it's real handy. Good news that I've heard is that there's plenty of ample bait all over the state. I know that some guys were a little worried with some of the stuff being shortage, but the slow ice coming on has let all the bait suppliers get stocked up. I've heard that there's also actually some of the guys actually have wigglers this year.
I haven't found mousies yet. I heard those were hard to come by.
Yeah, mousies are hard to come by. Spikes are pretty easy. Waxies are easy.
Mm-hmm.
If you get north of town, there's some guys still have some corn borers. But I've heard rumors out towards the lake shore mostly that there's wigglers available. But mousies, yeah, I haven't seen them anywhere. I haven't talked to anybody that's found those. But having that artisanal, and plastics really haven't turned on yet this year.
Yeah, they did for Keith the other day.
Did they?
Yep. We got the crappies on plastic.
Was he on the micro noogies?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
A ball with a whip tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's always a good option when starting out on that.
Yeah, it was a deeper water crappie. We were in like 30 feet of water, and you'd find the school of them, and boom. It was like, that's what I mean. It's weird.
Yeah.
Why are they out there in the basin now when that's usually later season? It's just odd, so... throw the rules out the window right now and just get out there and find them.
Yeah, get out there and drill and drill and drill and drill. Hey, speaking of drills, when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit about some drills and some drill woes that we have. And then we're also, later in the show, we're going to touch on the guys going to Bulgaria. We're the MI Ice Guys, podcasting on hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. We'll be right back in a moment.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey, we're back, and you know, hey, the end of the week coming up, and you guys are off to Bulgaria.
Yeah, it's Friday the 18th.
Yeah,
we're out of here.
We were talking a little bit about the augers that we're going to be using.
Yeah, it's a Nero Sport model.
Yeah, that's a little different than the model that we used last year in Kazakhstan, right?
Yeah, they you can use three different blade sizes on them, I guess.
One auger.
Yep, three blade sizes. Yeah, the 110s,
130s,
150s.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you think those are going to work their way into our stream to where HT has those in a year or so?
I imagine so. They did with the other ones we used last year.
Yeah, I noticed that a couple of the shows when we've been talking to our buddy Norm Smith, who's a HT pro, and he had those Neros out. But now... you guys also are going to take a couple of our augers because you want to hook up the drill.
Yeah. These ones have to have drill adapters for our augers, so we're
So
taking one of ours for that.
Yeah, one of the things that we learned last year, unfortunately, after we got to Kazakhstan, is that you can use a power drill or a power auger for your scouting and practice stuff.
Well, at least one team did. Was there two teams out there with a power drill?
The Russians... and the Swedes?
It was one of the, Swedes, yep.
So Steph and I, we were out there, and we had a left-handed hand auger that was drilling through 4 feet of ice, and when we found those Swedes with that drill, we just followed them and took our depths through their holes. We figured, that's just fine and dandy with me.
We had to set that depth on the Vexilar quite deep on the float, remember, because puck has to get below the bottom of the ice.
Yeah.
For it to, because if you're not all the way down the hole, you're not gonna get a right reading on it.
Yeah, you're gonna get some reflections on that. This year we don't have to worry about 4 feet of ice in Michigan.
Nah, not here or there. Over there we got about 8 inches, I guess. It's on the lake right now.
Okay.
And some snow. Looks like some of the pictures, they got some pretty good snow over there. So some spots were pretty slushy.
Yeah.
Which we can deal with that. 8 inches of ice, not a problem. That's a piece of cake.
Now, you know, we talk quite a bit, and I know, Steph, we just ordered up some new blades for our augers we use here in the U.S., and one of the things I want to mention to the guys is make sure you have the right tools on hand to change those blades.
Mm-hmm.
So check your auger out. Now, mine and your regular one here both take an 8mm.
Yep, I got that ratchet wrench you bought me last year.
Yeah,
so.
I found those. If you guys haven't seen these, it's the box-end wrench that has a little ratcheting in it, and you turn it over to go the other way. They're cheap. You can buy them up. You can get them down there at Lowe's where they have the single wrenches. You can get them at online, wherever you want to.
They work for the Lasers and the Finbores, right?
Lasers, Finbores, and Morris.
And the Mora, yep.
The Neros that you guys are using take a Phillips screwdriver. So remember to put your short stubby in your kit there. I remember last year we got there and I'm standing around and I got a couple of wrenches. And everybody's like, what are you going to do with those? I says, well, I'm ready to help with blades. They're like, oh, well, apparently the hex head has not made it to Eastern Europe yet. So check out your equipment. And that's something to throw in the bottom of your hopper bucket or in that extra pocket in your
make sure you got bibs. With your extra blades.
Yeah, put them with your extra blades so that, you know, if you run into that situation where you're really just grinding through the ice, you can put on a fresh set.
Yeah, like if you're just going out with one auger and you hit some debris in the ice or some sand or something and it messes up your blades, it could ruin your whole day.
Yeah.
Because now you got to go out and try to find some blades. So, but if you have that extra set with you and your wrench, bam, switch it out, no problem, and you're good to go.
And as the season progresses, getting those extra blades gets harder and harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
The shops start running out of them because they're not going to stock them for summer. So before they're all gone, you might want to make sure you own an extra set for your auger so you're ready to go if you run into that stuff or, you know, you get that friend that borrows your auger that does dumb things like banging off the asphalt standing by the truck or...
Well, you don't want to tap them on the ice, neither.
Don't tap them on the ice.
Because that can change the angle, and you're going to struggle forever. It'll never be right if you bend those actual metal tongs that your blades are screwed into.
Right.
You change that angle, and you're forever going to be
And, you know, wrecked. When you got a fresh set of blades on, man, those things cut like nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. Have the right tools available on those augers. Another thing you can do with your auger is make sure that cover that you got a way to keep that on because that protects it when it's in the sled, when it's in the truck, things like that. It's just some auger maintenance kinds of things. Make sure the wing nut's tight, and by all reason in the world, if you're using a drill adapter, make sure you got your safety plate on.
Yeah. Well, there's some things about the drills, too, you want to remember is there's a lot of the drills have a setting in the middle, so you can't bump the trigger. So whenever I'm putting my blade guard on, I put my drill in the middle. In case I bump that trigger, I don't want to be down around the business end of my drill putting my cover on and bump that trigger. So I always put it in the middle where it kind of locks the trigger, and then I'm good to go. Another thing to remember, too, when you're drilling is don't wear loose clothing or loose mittens.
Yeah, if you've got one of the augers that has, well, most of us have the Strike Master with big wing nut.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got your protector plate on, so it doesn't fall through the hole, you're probably not going to get close enough to get tangled up in that. But, you know, there are some of those adapter kits that have that bolt that sticks out both sides. Not really a fan of that. That's like a spinning.
Oh, I had a guy a couple tournaments ago on the championship, broke his thumb.
Yeah.
Got his thumb caught in the auger with his glove.
Yep.
I don't know if it was a mitten or a glove, but
wound him
he
up.
Had it where it didn't. Yeah, wound him up, and it broke his thumb.
Yeah, so you be real careful about that. Now, when you're changing the blades on there, my advice is either take it out of the drill or take the battery off the drill.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to run a sushi machine.
Nope.
But, you know, augers are a critical part of your equipment, and you need to take some time and care to them. We told you the story early in the season about how we rebuilt an auger for a charity case. That turned out just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy with that. So we're going to be hopefully getting a chance to go out fishing with some of those people soon, and we'll talk about that when that comes up. But taking care of your equipment's a very important thing. You know, it rides around the truck while you're looking for stuff. Every once in a while, slide it out, make sure something didn't come loose and bang around.
Check your bolts on your blades, too, once in a while. Make sure they didn't loosen up. You might need to put a little Loctite on them.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the season, and even sometimes if my auger's going to sit there for a long time after it's dried out, I'll spray a little WD-40 on it just for a little protection so it doesn't sit there and rust.
I use the dry silicone spray.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that for a protectant because it doesn't collect the dust as much as WD-40. But putting a protectant on it is always a good thing. Because, you know, you hate to break it to whoever shares a bank account with you that you all of a sudden have to go buy a new auger. That's bad news. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk Bulgaria and some of the planning. Steph stopped by tonight. We're building him up a bucket of stuff that he's got to take with him since I'm not traveling this year. But I also have some really good news coming up, but we're going to take a short break. MI Ice Guys, drinking a little beer, talking a little ice. Be right back.
Hey guys, Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia Allure.
Hey guys, we're back. And you know what time of year it is?
It's a whole lot of fun to fish
world
with.
Ice fishing
they're
championship
bright,
time.
They're durable.
On us early this
good
year.
Stuff.
Yeah, January. Wow. I remember going in February a couple times in March.
Yeah. It's the earliest I've ever seen it.
Wow.
But they got ice, so this is perfect for them. This is their ice season.
Yeah.
Which isn't long-lived for them, but.
Yeah. Now, have you been doing much research on where in Bulgaria you're going?
Yeah.
Can you pronounce the names of the cities and lakes?
Heck no.
Me neither.
It's like Pollyanna something or another.
All right. But anyway, Steph, Jake, and Chad, our regular MI Ice guys, are going, as well as other Michigan guys. Obviously, our captain and coach, Myron Gilbert, of the legendary Myron Gilbert. We've got Zach George, our good friend Keith Niffen, all traveling with the team. And then we're pulling one out of the back of the emergency reserves. We are taking the ultimate, the legend, Mike DeBodecker. Bo is going to help out. He told Keith Niffen that he'd be there to support him as a spotter and personal coach. For those of you who don't know, Mike is the only American with an individual world championship gold medal.
Yep.
He fished for a number of years. I think he's told us four or five countries and twice in the U.S. on the world championships. He is a definite legend in ice fishing. And if you've ever got time to sit down and chat with Bo, he's got some great stories. But you guys are flying out Saturday night.
Well, that's Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon.
Yep.
Holy crap, here you go early.
It's like 4 o'clock on Friday, and we get in to Sofia, Bulgaria, around probably 6 p.m. their time. And it's another 3-hour drive there to the venue.
Those 3-hour drives. It's always a 3-hour drive. Last year it turned into 4, but.
Yeah, it's really just central, a little bit northern, mountainous area of Bulgaria. They have 8 inches of ice, 8, 9 inches right now, a little bit of snow out there. We've been posting them on the USA Ice Team page online, so we're sharing. Bulgaria has a Facebook page set up as well, so there's a link to that on there. Check it out.
So you guys that follow Facebook, jump out there. There's links on MI Ice Guys to get there. There's usaiceteam.org. A lot of information that's out there on that stuff.
A lot of perch being caught, looks like.
Yeah, redfin perch.
A few big roach we've seen, but not a lot of little roach, but mostly just the redfin perch.
You know, we've seen that before.
But yes, uh-huh.
And they brag to us, and everybody says,
it's all
going to
be a perch
how.
Tournament. Da-da-da-da-da. We're going to get in the zone. It's going to be a roach melee.
Roach melee.
Yeah.
And one corner
will
have bream.
They said there's no bream in the lake is what I understand, but I haven't seen anybody pull one in yet.
You never know. There's always kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always a surprise when the traveling goes on.
Yeah.
And you guys are flying through Frankfurt again?
Yeah.
Yep. So it's the usual
trip.
And
we come back through Munich.
Through Munich, okay.
Yeah.
You get to see a different
Chicago.
Airport.
Hey, yeah. I hear Schaub walked in.
Yeah, I'm hearing him coming in. He's on the phone, of course, with somebody else. But anyway, tonight we were getting together and getting some equipment, some of
the radios, chargers,
and
batteries.
You know, in years past, we've talked about the radios. And the radios, we initially got into them because we ended up being on the wrong side of the zone from the action. And, of course, cell phones in Europe are kind of costly for us to have our number transferred over. And you really don't want anybody calling you in the middle of what's your night. So what we did is we invested in some radios that were programmable and programmed over into some European frequencies so we don't get clinked by the popo. And use that for team communication between the spotters.
And that works good. And the captain.
And the captain. We've run into the situation where you get on the wrong side of a zone. It takes a while for a spotter to go all the way around.
It'd be like walking around 4 soccer fields to get to the other guy.
And so what you end up doing is you're able to use another spotter on the other side. And we've kind of worked out a program where we kind of split half down one side of the zones and half down the other. Or if we've got extra spotter, you have them watching.
can float around for you.
Float around and get some other information. But then Steph and I, we found out that these things are really handy when we're up north and on some of these lakes where there's not really great cell phone reception. Mm-hmm. And I probably can guess that all of you have been through the situation where your cell phone battery goes dead while you're out on the ice because of the cold and things like that. So some of these little walkie-talkies, you probably have them for deer hunting.
Yeah, we use them for deer hunting.
We use them for deer hunting. We use them for everything.
Summertime fishing, on the river.
Yeah.
I mean, they come in handy.
They're really handy things.
A great range on them.
And they're not expensive. You can go anywhere from $15 for a radio all the way up to, I think the top end one I found is $62 because it's waterproof to 10 meters and has, you know, four bands and all craziness. But, you know, there's a lot of real cool things about that. And if you need more information about those, you can just ask an MI Ice Guy. That's one of the things that we provide on our website, and it goes out to a whole bunch of us so that we can offer you our advice at any time you need it about whatever subject you want. We had some good questions. We had a guy just a couple of weeks ago that told us about a battery sale.
Yeah.
So if you need a new battery for your Vexlar or Markham, he found a deal on them, a good price.
Amazon, yeah.
Amazon had a good price. But then, you know, I flipped right around and I asked Scott down at Allen Bob's what his price was. It was the same price.
Yeah.
It was $20.
Yep, they've come down a lot recently.
Yeah.
They're pretty economical now. You're not going to pay $30, $40 for a Vexlar battery. You can get them for $20 now.
Right. But other things that we're preparing for to take overseas and stuff is the power adapters. That was the thing we had to look into today.
Make sure we can charge our drill batteries.
Charging the drill battery. Yeah, that's a thing.
That's going to be an interesting one.
The radios we know, but now we have to take drills, and we figured out that our big Milwaukees don't have universal voltage on them. So we're waiting here from Chad to see if his DeWalt does. But that's a concern. And one of the big things that we have to realize with all this stuff is it's all got to fit in 50 pounds with your suit. And thank God our Norfin boots only weigh ounces.
Thank goodness.
What else did we have to? We had to find a spare set of Cthulhas for one of the new guys.
And a Norm's transducer.
A Norm's transducer, because our friend Norm broke another transducer.
Yeah.
But, just the preparation for the trip, it's going to be exciting. You guys are going to be gone about 8-9 days.
Yeah, we come back 28th.
28th, hopefully with medals. We're really hoping for you. I got some great news this morning. Now, last episode, you know, Jake came in and he and I, we talked ice and stuff like that. The Drill Maiden is going to come do a special episode of MI Ice Guys. So I think we're going to have to call guys and girls that day while you guys are overseas. And we're going to do that. And we're actually going to do our best to try and get a recording of a live interview while you guys are over there. We're going to use some Google technology and network you guys in so that we can get a report from Bulgaria, because I'm not going to be there with the big recording board to record. So we want to get some information from you, see how things are going, and get a report next week. So you and Jake are responsible for that, because I know I can't put Chad in charge of it.
Yeah, we'll touch base with you.
So that'll be fun. So anything else that you've heard that's going to be exciting for Bulgaria?
Not too much. A whole new country. I mean, every country we go to is new, but...
And we got a couple of new teams.
Yes.
Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia is coming to this one.
Romania. Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool, meeting some new guys.
Yep.
And I've seen a lot of posts from a lot of the other teams that everybody's getting really amped up.
Well, some of those guys have been there 2 weeks fishing on the lake.
Well, if you're like, the next country over.
I know. It's like, do you wonder why they have such an advantage when we only get like 3 days to practice on a European fish, and they get to fish them all the time, obviously, but and then they get to fish the venue for 2 weeks prior to the tournament. You're already, it's stacked against you as it is, but we're going to go out there and give them hell. And
I was doing some politics this week, and I'm talking to some friends of mine that are connected somehow with the new governor, and we're hoping that through some of our connections with the new governor, we're going to get some advancements in the Natural Resources Commission. Maybe it's not dead to bring the World Ice Fishing Championships to Michigan.
There's a chance.
Well, guys, when we come back, we're going to pop Chad on a microphone with us, and we're going to talk about a miscellaneous bunch of stuff, because, you know, you can never rail him in. And we're going to take a quick break, freshen our beers, and we will be right back.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
Hey guys, we're back. It's the MI Ice Guys. I'm Chaz.
Steph.
And Chad.
Look, we got 3 out of 5 of us. This is pretty good today.
Mm-hmm.
Jake's in a panic of getting ready to go overseas.
I haven't even started packing yet.
You mean your wife hasn't started packing for you yet?
I did take a line off of about 14 palm rods.
Nice. You're getting all new line when we go over there, so you'll be ready to re-rig. And I got my little cheater safety glasses, so I can help you tie back up.
Yep.
You better take an extra set of cheaters for.
I got two. I got
somebody else.
Set of 1.5s and 2.5s for if I really got to zoom in on something.
Well, you better buy Myron a set of 4s or something.
I just tie for Myron, so.
Oh yeah, that's
easier that way.
And he only needs 2 rods. Just well, he doesn't
need them anymore, but it's painful to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
That's like just give me that.
Yeah.
Some days we all have to help our older friends. But anyway, yeah, Chad drifted in, and we're getting all our swapping of gear, as we talked about earlier, done. Chad had forgot his belt with me that he holds up his fish pouch, and we know that is a critical part of his gear.
Mm-hmm.
So we made sure we get that back to him. But, Chad, you've been out on the NAIFC circuit a bit.
Yeah, I've done a championship, Minnesota and Iowa. Not very good results.
Well, yeah,
but
that's
that happens.
Been tough fishing.
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, great weather. It's been warm. Yeah. Decent enough ice, or you don't have to worry about it. I mean, not like around here. So
mm-hmm.
I think we had about 10, 12 inches in Iowa. Great fishing. Great bluegill lake, but it was a 10 fish of anything. Anytime you do that and there's crappie in the lake, it's a crappie tournament.
Yeah, it's a ton of crappie.
And the crappie were in small spots, and it was a luck of the draw for who if. There was 6 to 8 teams I figured that could win the tournament if they drew the right number. And one of those teams drew the right number and won.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was that kind of tournament. But I told the guy that was running it, you know, the stands bait or whatever, that, you know, this is a world-famous bluegill. Like, how about next year we do 15 bluegill?
Yes.
Throw these crappie right out. He said 2 days before the tournament he would have bet $100 that nobody could catch more than 2 crappie. We probably caught 40 on tournament day.
Mm-hmm.
Man. And they were all pounders or better?
No. A lot of half-pound crappies up to a pound. Okay. And about a pound, too, was big fish. I mean, nice fish, but the bluegills probably average 9 ounces.
With, nice, Jeff.
You know, I think the biggest one I saw was 14 ounces.
Dang.
So, I mean.
That's a substantial.
Really good bluegill fishing lake. I mean, a 9-ounce bluegill is a big bluegill.
Well, yep.
Steph, if you don't get a job, man, I'm thinking we're just going to roll out there. Yeah.
You'd be Cameron seeing, you know, muskie, walleye, smallmouth, drum, bluegill, crappie, perch, everything. I mean, just it's used to be one of the clearest lakes in the world. It's got a cloudiness to it now in the winter when the ice gets on it.
Okay.
They're blaming it on zebra mussels, so I don't know about that.
That math doesn't work for me.
Yeah, me neither.
No.
So
we've seen what zebra mussels do to our lakes.
Yeah, this was the 5th clearest lake in the world. Until it got zebra mussels in it. And now you can see 40 feet in the summer and about 8 feet in the winter. Something about 2 weeks after they get ice. It looks like a runoff. It looks cloudy like they've had a runoff.
Mm-hmm.
But they say maybe one of their guys thinks that the zebra mussels aren't filtering as much in the winter. And that the cloudiness is actually zooplankton or something.
Hmm. But if they're getting a plankton bloom.
Interesting, yeah.
That could explain it.
But that's what they're thinking.
Wow. Well, we've all been talking recently that Steph and I are going to be helping out to run. I guess we are the tournament guys for this Michigan stop.
Yeah,
for
Lake St. Helen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that, February?
17, 18 that weekend?
Yeah, probably. Sounds right. Yep, that is right. Probably the 17th. is tournament
right
day.
It's 17th is tournament day. I so got 15, it right here on my screen.
15th, 16th, 17th.
Yeah, so we're going to be up there, and we're going to be the guys, you know, setting up, organizing, helping run the officials and all that kind of
stuff. Behind the scenes.
Our good friend Jack is obligated being a good dad.
Yep. Yeah. It's Greta's senior year of swimming at Nebraska of Omaha. And
he's going to be present this year.
Yep. He can't miss her senior year.
Yeah.
I remember last year we were all trying to get it in on our laptops.
She did good, way better than he was expecting.
Yeah.
So, and I guess her times are even better this year.
Sweet.
Great. So we've got some tournaments coming up. And now another tournament I've been reading a lot about, and I've been talking to the guys, and I'm going to try and get them on the show next week, for the Ferris State Tournament Series that they're going to run up here in mid-Michigan. And that they have a fishing club there at the university, and they've picked out some lakes right around the central part of the state there, and they're going to do that. So hopefully next episode we're going to be talking to them a little bit about that, find out some more details about that, and, you know, hey, maybe we'll go up there and give them a lesson or two.
That's right.
Or at least we'll go up and
or
fish.
Or try to.
And maybe I'll show them how to drink beer.
Yeah, I've been donating a lot this year, so.
So, but yeah, we've got a lot of things. Then the big news came out about the Midwest Open. We just got the email, what was it, this morning or yesterday, that due to ice conditions in southern Michigan, down around the Jackson area, they've pushed that back to February 10th.
They should have ice by then.
Yeah, they should be all right by then. Unfortunately, that conflicts with the NAIFC Indiana, which kind of messes up a few of our other plans, but Steph and I, we plan on fishing the Midwest Open, as well as a number of our other friends that are planning on that one. So we're going to see how that shakes out and have some fun out there at a tournament. Keep an eye on the Facebook groups, and as I get hard, fast information on these things, I'm going to be posting them on MI Ice Guys, that when we find out about some tournaments around Michigan, that you can go and stretch your stuff, see what you got, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Then I'm going to, for Bulgaria, I know there's not a lot of footage from there. Never gets posted. I'm going to
try to
have Steph and somebody else wear a GoPro.
That'd be cool.
I'm going to probably wear one while pre-fishing, have Steph wear one, and see what we can make on that.
You guys, anybody taking a computer so you can shuck them back to me, or are we just going to wait until you get home?
I don't know. Probably have to wait till we get home.
Well, I've challenged Jake and Steph to doing a conference call with us from Bulgaria.
Okay. Google Hangouts.
We're going to do the Google Hangouts, network it into the board here, and get that. And I've got the Drill Maiden going to come in and co-host with me.
Uh-oh.
So, you guys are getting upstaged. I got an Michigan Ice girl coming in. But
are you going to have her here at the same time that these guys Google Hangout in?
Well, we're going to work on time on that and see what we can do if the boys stay up late and sober enough.
What are we, like that? seven hour time change, something
it's like
that?
Seven,
seven I thought was it, but we'll have that nailed down by next episode.
Yep.
And we'll also be posting that out there on the Facebook page and everything else, so you guys can keep track of everything that's going on over there. I know Steph will have his phone, so he can send us a
we'll try to make some posts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I think, doesn't Jake have a laptop?
I don't know if he does or not, but my GoPro Silver will download onto a phone, and then we could probably post that way.
Okay. Yeah, that or send them back to us, man.
Does your you probably have a SD card slot for your iPhone, don't you?
No, I don't.
No, you don't?
No, Android. That's an
Android. That's
an Android thing?
Well, I probably do then.
Yeah.
Because the other GoPro just takes, you know, you have to take it off an SD.
Yep.
Which we could probably do that and probably message it back if we had to.
Yeah. Well, I can help you on the technical details on that. We can get them uploaded and bring them back and
be kind of cool
posted
to have some footage
from the competition days.
Yep. I know that a lot of you guys that are listening have a real interest in, you know, when we go over to these exotic tournaments. For those of you that are hearing this in time, I understand that this week on Michigan Out of Doors, they are running a segment on our practice, the Rage in the Cage, that our friend Anthony puts together, and Chad goes out and helps him get that all arranged up and everything. Steph and I go out and help with the officiating on that. We did that a few weeks ago, and one of the guys from Michigan Out of Doors came out, brought his drone. That was so cool.
Guess what Chaz needs now?
Chaz needs a drone. I got a coffee jar. I'm shoving dollar bills in, man. I'm going to get me a drone.
But we do have a pretty cool tournament going to happen on Tuesday while we're overseas.
Yep.
With the Ukrainian team is pretty much a rookie team, and they might be getting in on it. Estonia, Finland,
Swedes will be in on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We could have a 2 hour, 2.5 hour, 6-man team.
A little shootout, yeah.
Yeah.
World rules shootout just for beers.
No, I mean, yeah. What
last
good
year
practice.
We had Sweden, U.S., and...
Nope, just us and Finland.
Oh, it was just you and Finland last year?
Yeah.
But, I remember who had to buy the beers.
And then Nero got involved and turned it into the Nero Cup.
Yeah, there's a Nero Cup, so it's going to be a fun little competition.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
It's going to be really tough for us because Ukraine's there already. Estonia's been there.
Yeah, they've been fishing there for 2 weeks, so they know everything.
At least a week they've been there, so,
It's crazy when you can just jump on the train and ride over for the weekend.
They can drive there.
Yeah, just drive there. Yeah.
Our Lithuanian buddies got there the 14th. Part of their team got there the 14th. The rest gets there the 18th. We get there, the 19th or 18th that night, something like that.
It'll be the 19th.
Yeah. Is it 19th?
Saturday night we get there.
So, but we get, Sunday, Monday to learn quickly and then do a little competition, then fine-tune from there.
Yeah, and then a little more practice Wednesday through Friday, and then...
Just ordered all the bait today, so stuff's starting to go together.
It's getting exciting, man. It's going to happen. We're really looking forward to getting the feedback from you guys as you're over there because, I scheduled with the drill maiden that we're going to have a special episode. So we want to hear some things. And then when you guys get back, we'll definitely get together again.
Yep.
Because I know you'll be dying for sushi again.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll get it back together and talk about all the adventures that happened while you guys were gone.
Looks like bigger fish this year, so I mean less fish maybe, but bigger is what the pictures look like, but you never know.
We heard that same story in Lafayette.
Yeah. You never know.
We've had that song and dance.
It is always a game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They're open minded.
Yes.
Yep. Open minded, exactly. Sharp hooks, and pray for tight lines.
Yep. Well, one thing we can be sure about, there's not gonna be any bream.
Supposedly. Yes. We have not seen one bream picture or heard of any bream.
No.
But those chub.
But I don't mind bream zones.
No.
I know everybody else don't like them, but sixth place is my worst finish in a bream zone.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time the team gets sixth or better, we're winning a medal.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
I mean, a few years back, you were in the channel there. You were just, that was when you got your medal. That was bream zone, wasn't it?
No. Got that the year before. Bream, that was my sixth place. First time I ever caught bream.
Yeah.
Didn't have bait, didn't have nothing. Got sixth place.
Come roll through the hole. What's this thing?
Yeah. Let's just go fishing.
Right on. Well, guys, it's time for us to wind this thing up. Get out of here. Go. We're going to go have a bite to eat. But remember, Michigan Out of Doors on Thursday night, and check that out. You'll see a little bit about us. And I think after it's aired, I think then we can post it too. So check that out. And stay tuned with us on Facebook, on our website. You can always ask an MIIS guy a question. We'll pop out an answer for you the best we can. Sometimes you get one answer. Sometimes you get five. Sometimes they're all the same. Sometimes they vary. Everybody's got opinion. So off they go. We're the MIIS guys. We're going to call it a week. Thanks for listening, guys.
Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.